This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen back in the saddle with my guy, Eric Halterman. Eric's been doing a great job filling in for Jeff Erickson throughout the week. A lot of fun shows under our belt, Eric. We got another one coming your way over the next hour here on VSiN. Of course, we will recap another wild, wild game in the Stanley Cup Finals. That series now knotted 2-2 after Draisaitl wins it in overtime for the Edmonton Oilers. We'll dig in on that series. We'll play it or pass it, taking a look at game four of the NBA Finals. That's coming our way tonight from Indiana. Pacers, of course, leading 2-1 after a big win on Wednesday. College World Series underway from Omaha, Arizona, Coastal Carolina. First game of the day that's about to start in Omaha. We'll have Johnny Venezia joining us later in the show, giving us all of his best bets for tonight, for tomorrow, for the rest of the weekend, and the rest of the College World Series. And we'll finish things out. Full baseball slate tonight. Eric Halterman going to give us his best bets in the MLB. By the way, we'll talk about this throughout the show, Eric. Money Moves, Follow the Money. They're broadcasting live all week and all weekend from the College World Series. JVT, Stormy, Jensen, all that crew has been fantastic so far this week. Been some really fun shows. Implore you to check that out. Follow the Money, of course, coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern later today. Last I checked, Eric, I know VSiN's been tracking this very closely on social media. I'm seeing Derek Stevens is currently the VSiN favorite to take down the Jello Shot contest out in Omaha, plus 250 right now.
Yeah, how do we get on the live from the Jello Shot room beat next year? We got to pull some strings. I want that job.
Yeah, seriously, man. I would not say that I am a College World Series expert. I am a Jello Shot expert. Had a lot of experience from 2010 to 2014 in Madison, Wisconsin. I would love to be on that board, assuming we're out there again next year. But again, great coverage out in Omaha. Make sure you check that out throughout the weekend. Again, Money Moves and Follow the Money broadcasting live from Rocco's at the College World Series. Eric, let's talk some hockey, man. We are now 2-2, and if you look at the updated series pricing, you know, the Panthers were up 2-1 heading into game four last night. They were big favorites on the series line. We're back to even, minus 110 both ways. This is a complete toss-up as we head to what feels like the final three games of this series. Certainly feels like a series that will go to seven games. Outside of game three, we've had three overtime games. They've been about as close as it gets, and honestly, this might have been the wildest of them all, Eric. Panthers jumped out to a 3-0 lead. They scored three goals in less than 8 minutes to close out the first period. And if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, you are in a full panic at that point. But the Oilers rally, three goals of their own in the second. Edmonton became the first road team, Eric, in Stanley Cup final history to rally from a deficit of at least three goals and win the game since 1919. That was the Montreal Canadiens rallying to defeat a team that I've never heard of called the Seattle Metropolitans over 100 years ago. That's how unique of a situation we had last night.
Yeah, I wonder what odds you can get on the Seattle Metropolitans to win it next year. But yeah, well, you had Paul Bruno on the show yesterday, and he was talking about how the way things are going, it looked like we could get the Panthers closing this out in maybe as little as five. And after that first period, I thought he was right. I thought it was going to be yet another very close finals game for you and I to talk about. But the Oilers pulling their goalie, Stuart Skinner, after the first period, replacing him with Calvin Picard, and it seemed to spur a comeback. Or, you know, maybe the offense just got going for reasons unrelated to the goalie. But we indeed got a good game after all, and yet another overtime game. That's three overtime games and one absolute blowout. It's a little bit of a strange combination there. I'll be really curious to see who the Oilers go with in goal next time. Skinner, of course, got knocked around in that blowout in game three and then had another terrible period. Maybe they just go with a backup moving forward to try to close out this series. That'll be an interesting question for game five.
Yeah, game five coming our way tomorrow night. Series, of course, now shifting back to Edmonton. Oilers, a slight favorite on the money line, minus 125. If you like the Panthers to retake the advantage in this series, you can grab them on the money line at plus 105. Total still sitting at 6.5. We've had a lot of high scoring games in this series, plus 102 to the over, minus 122 to the under there. You know, the other thing we've been tracking really closely throughout this series, Eric, is the Conn Smythe. Sam Bennett, still your favorite right now at plus 150. But Draisaitl, of course, with the game winner last night, his fourth game winning goal of the 2025 postseason. That's an NHL record. He also set the regular season record for game-winning goals with 6. He has leapfrogged Connor McDavid in the odds. Draisaitl plus 240, McDavid now plus 290.
Yeah, and I think that makes perfect sense. McDavid yet to score a goal in the Stanley Cup Finals here. He does have 6 assists, but I'm pretty sure it's goals that voters will be looking for when it comes to the MVP here. And, you know, game-winning goals, those don't hurt either. So I do like Draisaitl right now if you do think that the Oilers are going to take this one home.
Folks, are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better than that. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use. We're talking rankings, projections, updates, data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights over at RotoWire give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading to rotowire.com and entering the code ROTO15. That's ROTO15. Put in that code ROTO15 at checkout. You'll get 15% off any of our RotoWire subscription products. Eric, we got the U.S. Open ongoing out in Oakmont. The carnage has been as promised. As of right now, as we are kind of midway through round 2 of the tournament, we only have 7 golfers who are currently under par. Sam Burns and J.J. Spaun atop the leaderboard as we speak. Sam Burns in the clubhouse already with a 5-under on the day. He was 2-over yesterday, shoots a 65 today. So he's your co-leader with J.J. Spaun. Spaun started with 2 pars, just bogeyed number 3. So a long road to go still for J.J. Spaun. Thurston Lawrence yet to tee off. He was 3-under yesterday. He, of course, still sits at 3-under. Ben Griffin at 2-under. Siwoo Kim at 2-under. Victor Hovland making a nice charge as well. He is in the clubhouse today with a 68. So he is now 1-under for the tournament. If we take an updated look at the odds board, Hovland plus 650. He trails Sam Burns right now. You're betting favorite at 4-1. Spaun sitting at 8-1. Xander Schauffele is 10-1. Ben Griffin is 10-1. And Scottie Scheffler, Eric, who is 7 shots off the lead right now, still 10-1 to win this tournament.
Wow. And I guess when the course is this tough, does that mean it's easier to come back? I would think not. Maybe if the scores are higher in total, then is there a higher spread? I'm curious, what do you think the main effect is when you have a uniquely difficult tournament? Does that make you more likely to bet on guys who are a little bit further out or less?
I think more, and if we're talking about Scheffler specifically, he's almost in his own sphere, right? I think there's this belief that, you know, he is, you talk about a certain horse for a course, you know, a guy who fits a certain course. Scheffler fits every course, right? And you know, as Len Hochberg told us earlier in the week, it's really difficult to look at this setup at Oakmont this week and find a golfer who succeeds in like, oh, this guy's great hitting out of 8-inch rough. You know, those don't really exist. So I think Scheffler is still viewed as the most well-rounded player by a good margin in the field. And, you know, you're looking at these names at the top, totally possible that Sam Burns and J.J. Spaun and Ben Griffin and Victor Hovland, these guys could falter over the next 2 days. You know, I think anybody could go out and shoot 4 or 5 over in one of these final 2 rounds, and it wouldn't surprise anyone. So Scottie Scheffler, still very much in the mix. He's in good shape to make the cut. Rory McIlroy, not so much, Eric. Rory now 75-1 to win the tournament. We try to give you an update here on where he stands at the moment. He's 6 over right now, you know, already having a rough start to round 2. He was 2 over yesterday, double on number 1 today, did par number 2, but McIlroy already +2 through just 2 holes. Want to talk a little bit of baseball here, Eric, before we start to preview game 4 of the NBA Finals coming our way. In my neck of the woods here in Milwaukee, we had a big debut yesterday. Jacob Mizorowski coming up from AAA, a long-awaited debut. 5 scoreless, 5 hitless innings, did walk 4 batters. We knew that was going to be an issue. But in just classic Brewers fashion, just weird baseball thing going on, Eric. Basically cramps up and twists his ankle just walking back to the pitcher's mound. So had to be pulled after 5 innings of a no-hitter.
Yeah, it's a wild one. Mizorowski, we knew he struggled with walks. We did not know that he struggled with walking around. A little bit of a surprise there. But, you know, just watching him, he's this long, gangly guy. Doesn't really look like he knows where all his limbs are at any given time. So I guess it's not that a surprise if you were to project somebody to trip on the mound and get hurt. Hopefully he's okay. It seems like it's not going to be too bad, but he's going to be fun to watch. Triple digit heat, a 95 mile per hour pitch that some people call a slider. I think that has to be a cutter if it's 95, but outstanding stuff. if he can just keep it in the zone enough, and if he can just keep his feet hitting the ground instead of his ankle, I think we're in for a pretty exciting final 3.5 months for Jacob Mizorowski.
Brewers also swung a trade this morning, Eric, shipping Aaron Civale, who has moved out of the rotation to make room for Mizorowski. Obviously, he's struggled, sending him to the Chicago White Sox. And Civale requested a trade. I don't think he specifically said, hey, I want to go to the Chicago White Sox. Sox sending Andrew Vaughn back to Milwaukee. Brewers will see if they can get his season, really his career, turned around. And I assume he'll start out in AAA.
Yeah, probably. Andrew Vaughn, a former third overall pick. There's just not an obvious spot for him right now. He's a right-handed first baseman, and so is Rhys Hoskins, who's occupying that spot for the Brewers. Brewers also have Christian Yelich, who seems to be a permanent DH at this stage of his career. He started about 5 or 6 games in the outfield, but the last one came a full month ago. So maybe he works his way back there, but it'll be interesting to see if there's anything for Vaughn. Leaving the White Sox can be quite good. We're seeing that with Gavin Sheets, for example, went to the Padres this season. When you get out of a depressing work environment and go to a more pleasant one, which any team but the White Sox of the last couple of years is more pleasant, you know, I think we can see that in any field, not just sports. You can understand how that would lead to better performance. So there's something here maybe for Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, one other quick note in baseball, Kodai Senga headed to the IL, left yesterday's game with a hamstring injury. So we will keep you posted on that over the next week or so. Switching things over to the NBA Finals when we come back. Play it or pass it, Game 4 edition coming your way next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whalen, Eric Halterman here with you. We are underway in the first game of the double elimination round out at the College World Series in Omaha. 0-0 in the top of the first between Arizona and Coastal Carolina. One runner on right now, 2 outs for Arizona. We'll, of course, keep you posted on that game throughout the show. We'll have Johnny Venezia joining us later for all of his picks for the College World Series. One baseball game starting up momentarily. We're about 5 minutes from first pitch out in Chicago. Cubs-Pirates is our lone true day game on this Friday. Paul Skeens on the hill for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He goes up against Cade Horton. Let's talk some NBA Finals, Eric. Game 4, a huge, huge game. It feels to me like the winner of this game likely wins the series. Obviously, a big spot for OKC. Now down 2-1 to the Indiana Pacers. As we've seen throughout these playoffs, Eric, like after OKC loses a game, they tend to be an even bigger favorite the next time around. The number right now sitting at 6 in favor of the road team over at DraftKings. Total right in that same zone where it's been for the first 3 games, 227.5. We want to take a look at some player props for tonight. And to do that, we'll play one of our favorite games here on the show. Play it or pass it. What do we got, Eric? Hit me with some play it or pass it options.
Yeah, let's start with Tyrese Haliburton, who will be key for the Pacers. Hasn't totally taken over games yet in this NBA Finals. And the line for him on his points plus assists is not that high for a star player, 27.5. Do you like the over on this one?
Yeah, it's interesting that you point that out, right? Because Tyrese Haliburton, clearly the best player, clearly the focal point for this Pacers team, his points plus assist, and his assist prop alone is 8.5. Points plus assist is 27.5. SGA's points prop alone tonight is 33.5. So I think there's still some expectation here that, you know, that this could continue to be an up and down type of series for Tyrese Haliburton. Went well under this number in both game 1 and game 2, went well over it in game 3. I think he responded with the kind of effort that most people were hoping for, right? A little bit more aggression, a little bit more willing to pull some of those three-pointers off the dribble. He goes 4 of 8 from beyond the arc on Wednesday night at 11 assists, was 1 rebound short of a triple-double. But the fact remains that he's hit this in only 9 of 19 postseason games, dating all the way back to round 1 against Milwaukee. I think this is going to be really close. It's a really good number. You have to think OKC cracks down a bit on Tyrese Haliburton. You know, I think there are multiple ways that the Pacers could find to beat this OKC team. You know, they kind of did it in game one without Tyrese Haliburton being a huge factor. Haliburton was the driving factor alongside Ben Mathurin off the bench on Wednesday. I think OKC will do a better job on him one-on-one defensively, putting more pressure on him in the half court. You know, he had a couple run-out layups off of steals. I don't think those will necessarily be there again tonight. He does seem to have his confidence back, so that does worry me. It comes down probably to the assist volume. You know, is he putting up 6 or 7 assists versus 11 or 12? To me, I'm staying away from this one. It is more of a pass. I do like the over 2.5 threes, however, for Tyrese Haliburton, which, yeah, that would already put him at least 9 points. But I think OKC defensively does a better job on him tonight. So ultimately, we're passing the 27.5 points plus assists.
All right. Well, my favorite part of game three as a Sixers fan was seeing former process Sixer TJ McConnell seemingly steal every inbounds pass that the Thunder attempted. His over steals is just 0.5, though. Is this a lock if the Thunder even attempt to inbound it twice? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, the number tells us a lot here, I think, right? It's just, can you just get one steal? And we're getting this at plus 100, right? So, you know, this isn't one of those minus 175 type of props. He had 5 steals in game three. Like you said, I think at least 2 of those were off of inbounds passes. It's shocking to me that OKC made some of those plays really throughout the game. It wasn't just the inbounds. There were a bunch of lazy passes that were just picked off that were going the other way for fast breaks for Indiana. Really uncharacteristic from OKC. You have to think that tightens up tonight in what feels like close to a much-win spot. You know, McConnell did have 2 steals in game two. He had a steal in game one. So he has hit this now in 3 straight. He's a huge part of the reason. You know, it felt like Indiana kind of beat OKC at its own game on Wednesday night. Prior to the finals, however, McConnell had just 3 total steals in his previous 14 games. We're talking almost 240 minutes where he had 3 total steals. I do think the Pacers are going to keep bringing that energy level on defense. They've essentially been able to match OKC in that throughout this series. So, look, at plus money, we just need one steal. Let's have a little fun here. We'll play this one.
All right. I can get behind that one. Up next here, Benedict Mathurin. He provided the spark off the bench for the Pacers in game 3, led all scorers with 27 points, yet his over in this one is just 10.5. You like the over on this?
Yep. Yeah, this is another one that does feel like kind of a trap, right? And, you know, obviously the line wasn't going to be like 21.5. You're not going to overreact to what we saw on Wednesday, but he was the difference maker, I thought, for Indiana in that game. And it's not like Ben Mathurin is just some random dude. Like, this guy was the number 6 overall pick not that long ago. We know what he's capable of when given the opportunity. I mean, this was the 4th time already in these playoffs where he's put up at least 20 points. So you know there's going to be at least one Mathurin game per series. We're not asking for a whole lot here to just get to 11 points, minus 120. The big key for him, Eric, and the key for him hitting this over tonight is going to be getting to the free throw line. 19 free throw attempts through these first 3 finals games for Ben Mathurin. Got to the line 8 times in game 3. He's not even shooting it all that well from the line, but the volume has been there. It gives him a really nice safe floor in terms of the scoring. And what I love about Mathurin, on top of the ability to kind of challenge that Thunder defense off the dribble, when he's out there, there is no doubt that he is going to fire away. 33% usage rate in game 3 off the bench. This version of Ben Mathurin playing with confidence is a really bad sign for OKC. So I like this one. I'm going to play it, the over 10.5 at minus 120.
All right, here's another one for you. SGA over 1.5 made threes. That feels pretty low for an MVP. Do you think it's low?
It feels low, but when you look at the numbers, Eric, I don't know that it is, right? He hasn't been overly aggressive hunting threes in this series. You know, a lot of his 3-point attempts have kind of come in situations where they're trying to quell a run or it's the end of a quarter and he's going one-on-one. He did have 3 3-pointers made in game one, but he's just 2 of 7 from 3 over these last 2 games. He's hit this in less than half of his 19 playoff games so far during this run. I don't really have a strong read on this one. Honestly, at this price, minus 135, it's probably more of a pass for me. You know, if we were talking closer to even money, maybe I mean it. OKC as a team just isn't shooting that many threes. He's taking under 5 3-point attempts per game in these playoffs. He's shooting the 3 very quietly at just 31%. I'm staying away from this one. I think SGA wants to focus on getting inside, getting to the free throw line, getting to his spots in the mid-range. This one's a pass for me.
All right, let's go with another player on the Thunder, Chet Holmgren. His points plus rebounds prop is 24.5. He's somebody who's had an up and down series. Which side of this one do you like?
It's been an up and down series to say the least. That's for sure. Went well over this number in game three, had 13 points and 4 rebounds in the first quarter alone, but it felt like he got gradually worse and lost confidence as this game went along. And that's kind of been a theme for him. You know, it feels like he's either running hot or he's running cold, and he's just kind of like a giraffe out there charging into the lane without a plan. Oftentimes throughout these playoffs, he has gone over this number in 10 of 19 playoff games so far. But again, you have to wonder where he's at right now, confidence wise. 0 of 6 from beyond the arc in game three, had a shot blocked multiple times by Miles Turner in clutch situations in game three, in the fourth quarter. Some really just bad drives to the rim where, again, there was no plan in the second half. After that big first half, had just 5 points on 2 of 8 shooting. You know, he's the type of competitor who I think will bounce back, but I do wonder, does he have a shorter leash tonight? Do we see more Isaiah Hartenstein? Did the Thunder go smaller with Alex Caruso for longer stretches? So I'm a little bit spooked by how he finished that game on Wednesday. This one is going to be a pass for me. Do you want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide, which drops in just a few weeks on July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe and use the promo code book to sign up right now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. All right, Eric, we got time to squeeze in one more play it or pass it. What do you got for me?
Yeah, one more on the Thunder. How about Jalen Williams to go over 32.5 points plus rebounds plus assists? Are you in?
I don't know that I'm in, Eric. He went over this number in game three, 35 points plus rebounds plus assists, at 29 in game two, 27 in game one. I love Jalen Williams, no question about that, but this is a pretty lofty number for a guy who just hasn't really been very consistent game to game throughout these playoffs. Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, he's the bellwether for this OKC team. When they win, he averages 22 points per game on 49% shooting. When they lose, he averages 18 points per game on 36% shooting. He's only hit this in 7 of 19 playoff games overall. 2 of those were in round 1 against Memphis, a series that they just completely dominated. He hasn't gone over this number, Eric, in back-to-back games since round 1. So the Thunder may need him to go over if they're going to win and cover tonight, but I'm going to pass this one. We're going to switch things over to the College World Series when we come back. Johnny Venezia joining us on the other side coming up next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whalen, Eric Halterman hanging out with you. Time to talk some College World Series. We are down to the final 8 out in Omaha. Got our guy Johnny Venezia, college baseball expert, one of our writers over at RotoWire, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. You can check him out on Twitter at @JohnnyVTV. Johnny, great to have you back, man. I know we got a game underway right now, Arizona and Coastal Carolina in the top of the second there, still 0-0, runner on and no outs for the Wildcats. We'll keep you posted on that one throughout the show. Before we get to your picks, some of the props that you're looking at for this weekend, Johnny, I want to ask you, who do you want to win the College Baseball World Series, whether it's a ticket that you have, whether it's a rooting interest, maybe it would make for the best story. How do you hope this thing unfolds over the next week?
So great to be back with you guys. Thanks so much for having me. You know, the team that I really was the most fond of coming into the year, like this is preseason, was LSU. LSU and A&M were like my two favorites, and Virginia was right behind them. But the Tigers, for me, were the team that I have been rooting for because I believe Jay Johnson crafted another fantastic roster, a pitching staff that was going to be 8 arms deep. And I think he got even more than what he expected for in the best 1-2 combo and Cade Anderson, who's potentially a top 5 pick this summer, and Anthony Ianson, who's went from unknown to possible top 20 pick. You have a really good lineup with stars, including freshman Derek Curiel, who's going to be a first rounder potentially next year as a draft eligible sophomore. I think LSU is a team that I just got to stick with because that's who I've had all year long. And, you know, regardless of the ticket that I do have on the Tigers, I'd like to see them get it done here because they've been one of the top teams in the country all year.
We've got one game underway already. No score in the top of the second between Arizona and Coastal Carolina. You and Arizona in this one. What is it you like about this Arizona team and their chances going forward?
So I felt like this one was going to be a really close contest. I didn't agree with the opening line where Coastal was pushing minus 230 to Arizona's 190, 200. It was an incorrect price, especially the fact that Coastal did a little trickery on us and they deployed their Sunday starter, Riley Eichhoff, who's been awesome this year, instead of either Cam Flukey or Jacob Morrison, the Sun Belt pitcher of the year. So now that price by nature was inflated even more so. But you have Arizona, who's really feisty. Their Friday guy, Owen Kramkowski, has been pretty good this year. His pitch to contact approach is something that will really benefit him in this kind of ballpark with how big the chuck is. And Arizona's offense, it's very top heavy. They have three guys that are off the charts when they get hot. Just one of them can carry them to a victory. But if all three of them have like a really good couple of weeks, we could be talking about an Arizona team that might win it. Mason White, Brendan Summerhill, and Aaron Walton have been on a heater for the last couple of weeks here. Mason White has some of the most raw power that we're going to see in the country. Maybe he hits one out today. But I just felt like the number was too big. And even though I like Coastal because of their pitching front to back with their bullpen, Arizona, I had to give them something. That's why I felt with the run line plus 1.5 at even money, it was a good bet because I think this could be something of a pitcher's duel. And Arizona's definitely got the bats and is more likely to put one over the wall than Coastal Carolina is. I actually had this contest as more like Coastal 55, Arizona 45 in terms of percentages. And let me tell you something. If Arizona gets to the late part of the game with the lead, they have all-world closer Tony Pluta, who has a 1.26 ERA and 14 saves on the year. I think he was just named stopper of the year today, actually. That's going to be a tough one. So Arizona is definitely not getting enough respect. That's why I want the run line.
Late game tonight is Louisville and Oregon State, 7 p.m. Eastern, first pitch out in Omaha. Oregon State minus 188 on the money line. Louisville plus 145, total coming in at 9.5. I know you're looking at the money line and you're looking at the total in this one, Johnny. What do you like?
Yeah, I had Oregon State. I gave them out last night at minus 160. It's going to be freshman phenom Dax Whitney, potential first college arm off the board in 2027, who's been on a heater these last four outings. Only four runs in his last 22 innings with 39 strikeouts. His stuff, his fastball is going to be touching triple digits. It's electric. And on the other side, it's going to be Patrick Forbes for Louisville, who also has first-round juice but is a little bit more inconsistent. I ultimately went with Oregon State here because while I do get a little concerned, Dax Whitney being a freshman, making his first appearance on a stage of this magnitude is a bit concerning. Oregon State has about five quality plus bullpen arms that they can deploy if things get hairy. They can mix and match and find a way to wiggle out of trouble and ultimately collect 27 outs. Even against a tough Louisville lineup that's 1-9 deep, that applies pressure for the entire game, 155 bases stolen, always looking to take the extra 90 feet. They have a bopper, Nettie King Jr. But I think ultimately the pitching depth for Oregon State is why I'm going with them here, even at the price of what it is. Patrick Forbes has to go deep. If things go sideways for him, which it has this year, because he has a tendency to be cruising along and then just unravel because he loses the strike zone. Louisville, I don't know if they have the bullpen arms to be able to shut down an Oregon State offense that has some serious dudes in that lineup. Ava Arquette, potential first college bat off the board this summer. Gavin Turley's been a monster. Wilson Weber's been great. An X factor. Draft eligible sophomore Trent Carraway has been nuclear hot. Six homers in this tournament. Plus 500 to hit one out today. I think that's actually a pretty good sprinkle bet there. He's the X factor, and if he keeps doing what he's been doing, it's going to be a tough out for Louisville to get these Oregon State hitters to go quietly.
All right, so we're liking the favorite in this one, but if we're looking for an underdog, there's a big underdog tomorrow, Murray State taking on UCLA. Ja Morant's Murray State Racers, or should I say Jonathan Hogarth's Murray State Racers, are plus 200 to win this one. Would you be taking that?
Oh, yeah, official play. I think Murray State's grabbing one here. Let me tell you something about these Murray State Racers. This is what they've been doing all season long. It's just because they play in the MVC and we don't really get a chance to watch them or bet on them throughout the year that they've kind of fallen by the wayside. But this is a team that went into one of the most difficult regionals in the first weekend of the tournament with Ole Miss, Georgia Tech, Western Kentucky. They emerge. Then they go on the road to Duke, drop the first game in the Supers, and then come back, putting up a 19 spot in game two, taking that Super Regional, and now they're here. This team is not happy to just be here. They're not impressed with your adulations of them making it this far. They're here, and they're out for blood. This offense will batter you without mercy. Jonathan Hogarth, 22 taters this year, 340 average. This team will just continue to bat you to death. And I think against a UCLA pitching staff that doesn't have a dominant arm, like they have a collection of solid pitchers, it's worth the play. Like, we're still seeing sportsbooks disrespect this Racers team. They're 2-1 or bigger everywhere. You can get them at 230 on FanDuel right now. It doesn't make sense to me. When you look at the pitching matchup, like Nick Schutte and Isaac Silva for Murray State are talented, but they've been very inconsistent. And the bullpen doesn't really have too many consistent arms that they can rely on, which is a problem. But I think when you're looking at Murray State's offense, they're going to be able to score against UCLA, even with a solid bullpen. The question is, can somebody step up for the Racers? The point is, it should not be this big of a number, in my opinion. The guy that they have to watch out for in UCLA is somebody who could be the 1-1 pick next year. Rock Chalowski, superstar, got snubbed for the Golden Spikes finalist list this year. But I like Murray State in this one, guys. I think they're going to find a way to get it done. And wouldn't be surprised to see them win one or even two games here in Omaha.
Just a reminder, folks, VSiN is live from Omaha for the College World Series. We're broadcasting straight from Rocco's, home of the legendary Jello Shot Challenge, with live shows now through Saturday. Catch Money Moves. You can catch Follow the Money with On-Site Insight, Atmosphere, and Best Bets for the tournament. For all the coverage and for your free College World Series betting guide, check it out over at VSiN.com/CWS. All right, Johnny, let's finish out with this. We got about a minute here on the late game tomorrow night. LSU-Arkansas. Arkansas, a slight favorite on the money line, minus 120. You already told us you like this LSU team. Are we taking them on the money line?
Yeah, we're taking them on the money line. I think the loser here has an opportunity to rally out of loser's bracket. But in this particular matchup here, I'm not sure if Jay Johnson's going to go with his Friday guy, Cade Anderson, against Arkansas, who hits lefties pretty well, or it's going to be Saturday guy, Anthony Ianson. Can't really go wrong either way there. Ianson, it might be the advantage here because Arkansas has actually been worse against right-handed pitchers. I really love what I see from Ianson, but I think the bullpen and the offense is going to be able to do enough. Like, this is probably a 4-3 game. This is a coin flip, who's going to make the big mistake game that is going to ultimately decide potentially who wins the College World Series. It's going to have a massive shockwave for the rest of the field here. But I'm going to go with LSU. I like Ianson. I like the bullpen a little bit more for this Tigers team over Arkansas.
There we have it. Johnny Venezia, everybody. Check out all of his work, all of his picks over at rotowire.com. Follow him on Twitter @_JohnnyVTV. Got some Major League Baseball plays coming up for you next. Eric Halterman's Best Bets coming up on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whalen, Eric Halterman hanging out with you for another 15 minutes. We're closing out the show, bringing you up to 3 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you stay tuned right after us. Make It Rain with Adam Schein coming your way. We got Follow the Money live from Omaha with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard. That starts up at 4 p.m. Eastern. got our first runs on the board of the College World Series, Eric. As soon as we part ways with our guy, Johnny Venezia, we get two runs from Coastal Carolina. They now lead Arizona 2-0 in the bottom of the second. Looking at that live money line, Coastal minus 500 right now. If you want to jump on Arizona, you can get the Cats at plus 340. We have one MLB game in action. Not much going on out in Chicago so far. One hit either side right now, still 0-0. We're in the bottom of the second. Paul Skeens on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's already up to 3 strikeouts. 20 of his 26 pitches so far, Eric, have gone for strikes. Again, just one hit allowed. Cade Horton, also one hit and one strikeout through 2 innings. We do have a big night slate coming our way, Eric. I know you got some games you want to talk through, some best bets to give out. Let's go to Yankees-Red Sox. Obviously, always a big series in the AL East. We got Ryan Yarbrough on the mound tonight going up against Garrett Crochet. You're looking at the Red Sox here on the money line, and you got to play on the total as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm sort of torn on between a couple things on this one. We have two excellent lineups. Yankees and Red Sox have both been quite good. Yankees even better. And we have one excellent pitcher in Garrett Crochet and one who's been surprisingly decent in Ryan Yarbrough. So I think you could take that a couple different ways. Could look at the under and assume that Yarbrough's going to keep getting it done. I mean, the 4.17 ERA for Yarbrough is not amazing, but it comes with a 3.65 Sierra. That's about half a run better, 1.15 whip. Strikeout rate of 23% is unusual for him. He's usually in the mid to high teens, not walking too many guys either. Garrett Crochet, though, is just too good. I think the Red Sox at minus 149 is pretty borderline. I might actually look at, say, Garrett Crochet to pick up the win as a more interesting way of betting on the Red Sox to win. He's at around plus 160 there. I think if the Red Sox win, it's because Garrett Crochet pitches up to his 2.35 ERA, his 31% strikeout rate this season. So a couple of different ways to go on that one, but Garrett Crochet is easily the most trustworthy piece of this game. So I think I'd lean on him in some way or another.
Give you a quick update on the U.S. Open out at Oakmont. J.J. Spahn just birdied the par 3 sixth, so he now moves to 1 under on the day, and 2 birdies in his last 3 holes, 5 under for the tournament, now holding a 2-shot lead over Sam Burns and Thurston Lawrence. Sam Burns, still your betting favorite right now, plus 360. Can grab Spahn over at DraftKings at plus 550. Eric, let's look at the Giants and the Dodgers in the NL West. Logan Webb going up against Yoshi Yamamoto tonight. Another game where you have a money line play, and we're looking at some for Logan Webb as well.
Yeah, an incredible pitching matchup in this one. These are two of the top 5 NL Cy Young candidates. If Paul Skeens doesn't get it, maybe it'll be one of these two. And with the pitchers both being so good, I don't think the Giants should be this kind of underdog at plus 151. I think even with the Dodgers having a better lineup, Logan Webb is good enough to win games on his own. So I like the Giants as an underdog. I also like Logan Webb over 18.5 outs. You got that at plus money. Now, he's actually only hit that in half of his 14 starts so far, but I think the Giants are going to want him to go as deep as they can in this one. And this is a new version of Logan Webb. Typically, he's been just a ground ball guy, innings eater, which probably would make you more confident about him hitting this over. This year, though, he's got the strikeout rate all the way up to 29% without really losing anything in terms of his ground ball ability or his control. That means his 2.58 ERA is very deserved. And again, he is still hitting this over, getting at least one out in the seventh inning in about half his starts. Compare that to Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the other side, who has pretty similar numbers, but is hardly ever asked to go deeper than 6 innings. I like the over on Webb's outs prop, and I think if he hits it, the Giants probably win as well. So you could look to combine those two.
There we go. I like it. Getting plus money on both of those. Webb over 18.5 outs comes in at plus 120 right now over at DraftKings. Got the Blue Jays on the road at your Philadelphia Phillies, Eric. Kevin Gausman versus Ranger Suarez. Another one where we have a similar number, 18.5 outs for Ranger Suarez. Are we taking this one at plus money?
Yeah, we are. And it's because Ranger Suarez has hit this every time that he's gotten an extra day of rest this season. And he has failed to hit it every time he hasn't. And guess what? He's getting an extra day of rest in this one. Granted, it's only about 7 total starts for him this year. He missed the start of the year with injury, but he's been excellent. A 2.70 ERA, better than the ERA estimators, but they sit around 3.5. A 1.13 whip for him as well. He's not a big strikeout guy, just 21.5% strikeout rate, but that's not terrible. That's right around league average. And as always, doesn't walk a ton of guys, just a 6% walk rate. And his biggest strength is he keeps the ball on the ground, 54% ground ball rate. A pitcher like that, pretty reliable at going pretty deep into games. And the Blue Jays have a good lineup, but not a great lineup. So I think Ranger Suarez should get us at least one out in the seventh inning here. Again, he does that every time he gets an extra day of rest.
Another big divisional series coming our way this weekend. Padres Diamondback starts up tonight. Steven Kolek on the mound for San Diego going up against Ryan Nelson. You look at the raw numbers, some of the traditional pitching stats for Kolek, Eric, you know, 3.0 ERA through seven starts, but maybe not quite as rosy when you start to dig in under the hood.
Yeah, and that's why I think I like the over, even though this one is at 9.5. I think it should be at 9.5. Kolek seems to be getting by with a little bit of smoke and mirrors here. The ERA estimators, you got XFIP at 429, Sierra 441. I think those tell a better picture of the kind of pitcher he is. He just doesn't miss many bats, only a 17% strikeout rate, a similar ground ball rate to somebody like Ranger Suarez. But again, Suarez misses a league average amount of bats and also avoids the walks. Kolek has an above average, as in bad, walk rate as well. I don't think he's going to keep up this kind of ERA for long. Ryan Nelson on the other side, 460 ERA, is actually worse than some of the ERA estimators say he deserves, but he spent a lot of the year in the bullpen. You'd expect those numbers to rise now that he's a permanent member of the rotation. He's fine, a little bit below average in terms of his bat missing ability and about average everywhere else. But you got one pitcher who is over his head and looks like barely a fifth starter, and another guy who looks like probably a fifth starter and no more than that. I think any two lineups I'd like taking the over against these two.
All right, we'll finish out with a fun interleague series in Detroit. Reds taking on the team with the best record in the American League right now, the Detroit Tigers. Going with an opener tonight are the Tigers. Nick Martinez, we know, will be your starter for the Cincinnati Reds. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, I think we can look at the over here as well, even though Reds not a great lineup, and especially when they don't have the help of a very hitter-friendly park at home. But I really just don't trust the pitchers in this one. And with the total only being 8, that's a little bit of a surprise to me. Nick Martinez, all right, his ERA is pretty good, 370, but that's about half a run better than the ERA estimators. He does not strike people out, just a 17.5% strikeout rate. He avoids the walks, but he doesn't keep the ball on the ground well either, just a 37% ground ball rate. This is the type of profile that, you know, he just lets guys hit it and hopes it finds gloves, and I don't trust that long term. On the other hand, Cater Montero, as the likely bulk guy for the Tigers, has not looked very good at all this year. 430 ERA. The ERA estimators even higher than that in the upper fours, only a 15% strikeout rate for him combined with about league average ground ball rate and walk rates. Two guys who let you hit the ball, and I think we're going to get to more than 8 runs with these two guys on the mound.
We're going to wrap up the show, wrap up the week with our GBank Best Bets. They're brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. It's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Eric, your GBank Best Bet. Where are we going?
Yeah, I'm going back to that Ranger Suarez over 18.5 outs. I mentioned the extra day of rest angle. There's the other angle, which is that he was quite poor in his first start back from injury, but since then, in 6 starts, he's given up a total of 6 earned runs. He's just been incredibly reliable. That's who Ranger Suarez is. I think he gets us at least 6 1/3 tonight.
All right, I'm going to game 4 of the finals. Alex Caruso, over 6.5 assists plus boards, getting this at plus money. Thunder love these smaller lineups. Caruso is a part of 5 of their 7 most common 5-man lineups in these playoffs. Played 32 minutes in game 3. He's gone over in 2 of 3 finals games thus far. That's going to wrap things up for us here on Prop Points. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming your way next on VSiN.